Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Am I right on camera right now? Just start. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. You'll wait till I get back up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what a good looking, fine looking group you got out there tonight. Hallelujah. I hope you came expecting and excited for the word tonight, because God's got some good things for us. Amen. He's got some good direction for us. Amen. He's got... Praise the Lord. There's an amen. When I say amen, that means so be it. So you got to say so be it too to make it true. Amen. Because if you don't agree with it, well, it ain't true. Well, that's not true. But you want to get everything that you can get out of this service. Amen. God's got great things for us tonight. Tonight we're talking about purpose in the plan. That's the name of the service. Praise the Lord. Purpose in the plan. We're going to be talking about the plan of God. Amen. How many know that God's got a plan for us? Amen. God's got thoughts towards us, but He's got a plan for us. And we know that if we walk in that plan, if we fulfill that plan, that there's ultimate blessing in it, that God's got good things for us that are attached to that plan. You know, there's so many times that Christians are like, they're like, I just don't understand. There's these promises in the Bible. They must not be true because, you know, I don't see it in my own life. Well, see, it's all matters how you connect to the plan. If you're not connected to the plan of God and what He has specifically, then you're not going to get what He has for you. Amen. Because God wants us blessed. We have to understand that. God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of destruction. He is not the author of pain. He is not the author of suffering. He is not the author of lost. He is not the author of unknown. How many know that God wants to answer every question? He wants us to be in the full knowledge of God. He wants us to be able to understand the Word of God. He wants us to be able to understand that crazy preacher. Hallelujah. He wants us to be able to understand the Spirit. He puts a spirit on the inside of us, and He wants us to know and understand what that Spirit is saying to us. He wants us to be sure of what He's doing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God has not given us a plan or a spirit of fear. We know that according to 2 Timothy, praise the Lord, 2 Timothy 1:7, that says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen. We need to live in power, love, and a sound mind. Praise the Lord. And that comes from seeking God and knowing God, and it comes in His plan. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to start way over in Proverbs. Amen. If you can find Proverbs, you're going to be real blessed. Praise the Lord. If you can't, well, you'll still be blessed. Amen. As long as you listen. Hallelujah. We're going to also put the scripture up there, but we know it's good to have the Word of God with us. Praise the Lord. We need to know where to turn. Amen. When there's trials, when there's suffering, when there's things going wrong or things going on, we got to know the Word. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why we endeavor to get people to learn it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:12. Did I tell you that? No? Amen. Well, that's where we're going. Proverbs 14:12. Amen. Glory to God. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Wow. Praise the Lord. There is a way that seems right to man. It seems right. Men, and you know, as far as men goes, it sounds right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We wonder why so many people in the world are doing so many things the same. Because there's a way that seems right. There's a way that, you know, in your fleshly mind, in your carnal mind, in your natural mind, hallelujah, there's things that just seem right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Seems right. Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to my wife recently, I think, about this. You know, it's funny because, and I say often, I don't know if it's just because I think differently now, because I've been born again, I've been saved, praise the Lord. But, you know, the Bible does say to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah. And so we know that this carnal mind needs to be renewed, this natural mind, we need to, it needs to be renewed, amen, in the things of God. Because it's the things of God that are truth, praise the Lord. It's not what we think. It's not what we feel. It's not what we want. Those things aren't the truth. I'm not saying that wanting something is bad. I'm not saying that thinking something is bad. I'm not saying that feeling something is bad. Hallelujah. But I'm saying if we're led by those things, that can be bad. We are not to be led by our mind. And we see here, and it actually says this twice, this exact same scripture is repeated twice. I think the other one is in Proverbs 16:10, maybe. Praise the Lord. Let me just flip over there. 16. Nope, that wasn't 16:10. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. 25. Yes. Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. So we see this twice in Scripture. You know, God, he's saying something by this. He wants us to understand it's not, you know, things can seem right to you. And that's what I was getting at is, you know, people often do things in this world because it seems right to them. They have all these ideas, these plans, and these purposes, and they don't realize that the end of those things is death. The end of those things is trouble. You know, and when I say death, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are just going to drop dead because they do something wrong. But what it means is that it's a course of destruction. You can look at it that way. It's a way of removal or tearing things apart. Amen. It's not what God has intended. And so we have to understand this. This is one of the first things that any church member really needs to understand is that there is a way that seems right to man, but that's not the way you want. You want the things of God, amen? Because it's God that gives us the truth. It's the Word that gives us the truth, amen? Praise the Lord. Why do I live differently than I used to? You know, so many people have credited my beautiful, wonderful wife for my change. And yes, she's had an effect on me. I'm not saying she hasn't. She's had a great effect on me. There's a lot of things that I do I couldn't do if it weren't for my wife, amen? But my wife was not the change in my life. In fact, my wife will tell you just the same as I'm telling you now, you know, my wife wasn't raised as a person who was following God or believed in God or thought the things of God were even truth, amen? When I met her, she didn't feel that way. But, you know, as she started researching the Word and started going to church and understanding these things herself, she started seeing, wait a minute, there is truth to this. That there's things here that I never saw before. There's things that I never got before. And so we see that there's been a change because of that. Well, the same thing in my life. The reason I live a different life now is because change has happened, and it hasn't happened by doing things the way I always did them. Amen. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of us. Amen. We know things now that we didn't know before. Praise. We can do things we couldn't do before. Amen. And it's exciting, but we have to really understand that there's a way that seems right to man. So you need to, that's why we have to, you know, the Bible says that it's the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts, dividing between the soul and the spirit, the soul, which is your mind, and the spirit, which is your spirit, that God is, it's real you, amen? And so, you know, that scripture is written for the purpose of this scripture, amen, in that we understand that we have to, just because we have a thought doesn't mean that it's right. That we need to be able to divide between those thoughts and say, wait a minute, is this thought from God? Is this a godly thought? Or is this a worldly thought? Amen? And see, this is the difference in living a true spirit-led and filled life, amen, is that you learn to discern between these two things. And so now you can look at things and you say, well, even though that I want that, I know it's not right. Amen? Even though that I may desire these things, I know that it's not what God has for me. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, we're familiar with that. Why don't you go ahead and turn over there with me. Praise the Lord. I just flipped right over there. I guess I had a marker there, but wasn't planned. Hallelujah. But Jeremiah 29:11, I'm going to read it first in the Amplified. Of course, this is a scripture we love to stand on around here. We read this all the time. But you know, we really behoove us to dig into this and really understand what God is saying to us. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you." This is the Amplified, says the Lord. "Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome." God has plans that are good and blessed. He's got plans that will help us. But God didn't plan death. Death is not part of God's plan. Death is an attack from the enemy. Amen. It's a plan of the devil. It is not from God. And we understand that we can thwart these things. We can thwart death. Now, eventually, our bodies will die because they are breaking down, and that's because of sin that works against us. Amen. It's not because it's making God mad and He's destroying us. So many people think that. You know, so many people think that when somebody dies, that it's because God struck him dead, and that's just not the truth. You know, it's not scriptural. It's not what God does. Amen. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, I've come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life, But see, there's a way that seems right to man, and that way isn't always God's way, praise the Lord. And when people follow their own path, that's when they end up getting in trouble. That's why death can come so sometimes too early, because they follow their own plans, they don't follow God's plan. God's plan is to set us free. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I think towards you. Now, and we know in the regular Jeremiah 29:11, it doesn't say plans. But if you do a study, you understand that that word for thoughts is the word for thoughts and plans. It's more it's a bigger word than just thoughts. Amen. But we can understand this just from a natural standpoint, that God doesn't just think random thoughts. God isn't just up there, oh, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this. See if this works. Boom, boom, boom. And no. God, we see when God created earth, and heavens and earth in Genesis, when we see the creation account, that God was methodical about everything he did, that he put this here and he put that there, and he thought about man before he even brought man on the scene. He brought the trees and he brought the fruit and he brought the flowers and he brought the animals. He brought all these things, and then he brought man on the and put him on the inside of it all. And not only did he do that, he didn't just bring all this stuff to the earth. He did that, created a beautiful earth, but he also planted a garden. A beautiful garden, and he put man in the midst of the garden. Hallelujah. And he gave him all the provision. Everything that he had ever wanted, everything he could ever desire was right there. And see, that's the plan of God. Amen. That's the ultimate. So we see that God had purpose. And we have to understand that our God is a God of purpose. He doesn't just randomly do things. There are, you know, some people love to use this. I hate this saying. I hate it. You might know where I'm going. But when people say that everything happens for a reason, I believe everything happens for a reason. That's a really dumb statement. Why? Because everything does happen for a reason. Yes, there is a reason for something. That's that. There's, you only have some deep revelation when you say everything happens for a reason. Amen? If I step out in traffic and get hit by a car, the reason was that I got hit by a car, the reason that I went home to be with the Lord was because I stepped out in traffic. Yes, there was a reason for it. But when they say it, what they're meaning is it something that what they really mean is that something happens, everything happens for some divine reason. That's the part they leave out. So I understand that they're not just saying that everything happens for a reason. But that's not true either. God isn't orchestrating our lives in the sense that he's pulling puppet strings up there. He's given us free will. And when people operate according to free will, they'll make decisions sometimes that lead to death. Remember we read that? There's a way that seems right to man. Praise the Lord. Some people think that it's right to do certain things, and they go out and do them, and it causes death. And then they like to blame God because it's easier to do that. Praise the Lord. That's not the way things work. Amen. You know, I remember this person I was counseling once. I was working with them and trying to help them through some stuff. And praise the Lord. And as you're a counselor, especially a biblical counselor, like a pastor, you have to be real careful with people, and because people get offended quickly and you want to help them. But see, at the same time, when people don't listen, they won't listen. And this person, you know, they didn't really want to listen too much to what I had to say. They had ideas. They had plans for themselves. I kept trying to lead them and coax them into the plan of God. But how many know that people don't always want to do that? They just want to do their own thing. And so this person was doing her own thing. And she decided that she wanted to go down this path. Well, it wasn't really the greatest of paths to go down, but she was going to do it anyways. And well, the path was in a relationship, and of course the relationship failed, which I knew it was going to. Why? Because it wasn't built on anything solid, praise God, listening to lies and stuff like that. But she went into this relationship, and this relationship fell apart rather quickly, and because she moved too quickly on it, it left her homeless. It left her in trouble. It left her without all this, all the things that she needed. And she was somebody who wasn't able. We'll just say that this way: wasn't able to make. She wasn't able to do everything for herself. She needed help with things, you know, some handicap stuff there and stuff like that. And she, you know, when she came to me in tears after this thing all fell apart, she's like, I know that God does, that God won't put on you more than you can handle. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. That was a decision you made. That wasn't a decision God made. God didn't lead you to do that. See, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is death. God's given us his spirit. He's given us the ability to sift through these things, to be able to know the truth. But see, people don't connect to it and then they don't get the truth, and then they wonder why things fall apart. Amen? We see this as pastors all the time. We see people come. We see people go. We warn people that are going. We warn them all the time. Don't go. Stay where the word is. Stay where your help is. But see, they don't always listen. And when they don't listen, things fall apart. We're seeing it time and time again. You got to listen. You say, at some point, you got to say, listen, first of all, God knows more than I do. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And generally speaking, those that God places over us, praise the Lord, know more than we do. Amen? That's just the truth. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to help you with some things. Amen? And you know it. If you're a parent, you know it. You know more than your children do. Yeah. They don't think you know anything, but you know more than they do. When you're saying something, you're saying it for a reason, not because you hate them. You say it because you love them, because you don't want them to go down that path of destruction. Praise the Lord. But just as we are, or just as children have parents, praise the Lord, we have spiritual parents. God has given us the ministry gifts to help perfect us, not to tear us apart. Praise the Lord, but to help perfect us. That's literally what the Bible says, to make us a better person. But yet people forsake the ministry gifts. He's given us church so we can come together and be the body and operate together. But people forsake the church. Yeah. You know, people all the time, they're leaving what God has given them. And then they get into trouble and they're like, why God? Why God? And the truth is, God had nothing to do with it. You close the door to him. See, if you close the door to God, you can't have the things God has. I've seen this so many times in life. People close the door to God and then they wonder when everything goes to pot. Well, when you close the door to God, you open the door to the devil. You can't have it both ways. Praise the Lord. Because the one door is it's like they're connected. Amen. If you shut the door to the devil, you do it by opening the door to God. You can't open the door to God without shutting the door to the devil. Amen. But if you open the door to the devil, you shut the door to God. It just happens. You can't have it any other way. Amen. Glory to God. You know, God has us here for a specific reason. God's planted this church for a specific reason. You know, there's a lot of people thinking, we just came and started a church, but that ain't the truth. I'm just going to tell you, the last thing I wanted to do on Saturday night was come down to Cory, Pennsylvania, and start a church. Just naturally speaking, there was no part of me that wanted to do that. Why? Well, first of all, I knew nothing about Cory. Amen? There's nothing here naturally that drew me here. The only thing that drew me here was the Spirit of God. People say, well, you know, why would you go down there? Because God sent me. I endeavor not to do things, praise the Lord, by my own. I'm not saying I do it perfectly, but I don't want to do things my way. Because whenever I did things my way, I got in trouble. Whenever I did things my way, I got sick. Whenever I did things my way, I got bad relationships. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know something? I couldn't date a person right for my entire life. Yeah. I couldn't. Every person I picked, oh yeah, I fell head over heels in love almost instantly. This is the next best thing. And every person when you first meet somebody, you never go to that person. You don't get into a relationship looking at the person you're getting into a relationship with, thinking, "Oh, this person is going to ruin my life." You know what I mean? You don't get into a relationship going, "Oh man, this person's terrible. I think this will make me happy." You don't do that, do you? Why? Because it'd be foolish. Right? But see, what people do is so there's always everybody presents a smokescreen, so to speak. Amen. You know, there's plenty of things I didn't share with my wife until after we were married. You know what I'm saying? Those are little things, you know what I mean? Like, don't look at me like that. Praise the Lord. You know full well what I'm talking about. Those little things, you know, those little things that you do in the secret, you know, in the dark, or you do at home, you know, I'm not talking about sinning. You understand? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want to use examples, but I just don't want to get vulgar. Hallelujah. But you know, there's just things, you know, I don't pick my nose or anything like that. So I'll use that example. But like, you don't pick your nose on the first date. Amen. You know what I mean? Usually you don't pass gas on the first date. This is what I'm talking about. You know, I'm talking about little stuff. I'm not talking about serious things, you know what I mean? There's just certain things you don't do when you're first trying to woo somebody, you know? You know, a nice horse-drawn carriage line, and you're like, you know what I mean? You don't do things like that. And if you do, you probably won't have a second horse-drawn carriage ride, at least not with that person, amen? But, you know, I couldn't pick a relationship because I picked it just by natural, hey, I like you, you like me, at least in this moment, so hey, let's get together. Yeah. There's no way to base a relationship. Where are you going to get doing that? There's a way that seems right to man. Yeah. But it's a... You know, people have tried to give us so much. I love it. People try to give us so much, so many opinions, so much of their counsel over the years on raising kids. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just talking about peers, relatives, friends, whatever. It doesn't matter. But you know, you got to let your kids pick. And say, no, you don't. That's the dumbest thing you can do. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So if foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, why on earth would you make them why would you let them make one decision? I'm just telling you, because you're enabling a fool. Listen, we love them. We love kids. I'm not talking down to kids. But they have foolishness bound in their heart. What we do is, and this isn't happening in today's society, but what our job as parents is to do is to knock that foolishness out of them through training, praise the Lord, through training over and over and over. You train kids to not be foolish. There's a lot of people that don't do that anymore, though. Hallelujah. My wife's a school teacher. I ain't going to go into too much detail. I'm just going to tell you. She knows that there's a lot of people that don't train foolishness out of. Well, you make your own decision. Here, you have unfettered access to the internet. We'll give you a smartphone, teenager. And do whatever you want with it. We're not even going to check it. We're not even going to put any controls on it. We're not going to stop you. Just do whatever you want. Well, then you wonder why they're getting into stuff. You wonder why they're seeing things. And I'm going to tell you, there's things out there to see that isn't hard to get to. It's disgusting. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is death. You know, recently we were at a family get-together, praise the Lord, and all the kids were on, we looked over at one point, took a picture of it, all the kids were on some device, praise God. Yeah, they're all on some device, and I thought, man, it was a shame. I was like, you know, when I was growing up, you know, the cousins actually knew each other. They talked to each other. They all sat next to each other, but they were just looking at their devices. I'm just telling you, there's a way that seems right to man. You know, a lot of people don't have any problem with that. But then you wonder why your kids aren't able to interact socially when they're not able to do things that normal kids should be able to do. Praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about giving kids a life that's not enjoyable. But see, how do we get off on all this? I don't know where you got me off on all that, but praise the Lord, it's good. Hallelujah. But God's doing good. God wants us to know the truth. He's got plans for us. And we can't get there unless we connect to God's plan. Amen? Praise the Lord. If there's a plan, then there is also a purpose. That's really important. You say, well, Pastor Jeff, that's pretty basic, but it's the truth. If there's a plan, there's a purpose. You have to know that if God has a plan for you, then he also has a purpose for you. See, so many people, they spend life trying to figure out just what the purpose in life is. Oh, it's written right here. God's given us a plan. He's given us a purpose. The thing is, you don't need to be looking for your purpose. You need to be looking for your plan. Your purpose is in God. Your purpose is to follow his plan. That's what your purpose is. That's why you're here. So many people, they just live life. I've met people, praise the Lord. I know of a young mother. Glory to God, lives paycheck to paycheck, working extra jobs, just a single mother, raising several kids. Sweet woman, I mean, praise the Lord for her. But that's not what God has for her. That isn't what God has for her. He has more for her than just to live paycheck to paycheck every day. He has more for her to do than to just exist and just figure out a way to exist. See, and that's what so many of God's people are doing. They're just figuring out a way to exist, and that was never God's plan. He placed his man, Adam, and his woman, Eve, he placed them into the garden full of abundance, full of beauty, full of everything that they could ever want, everything they could ever desire, everything that they would ever need was right there. God placed them there. And you're telling me that God just wants you to live paycheck to paycheck? That's not God, that's the devil. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. What's an abundant life? An abundant life is not living paycheck to paycheck. But I'm so glad that she hears the word because that'll change it. Amen? That's exactly where we were. When my wife and I met, we were reaching up to touch bottom. At least I was. I was reaching up to touch bottom and I was still far away. Praise the Lord. I had a little one-bedroom apartment. I couldn't afford the heat in it. We couldn't afford to heat it. We had a little space heater that we heated it with because we couldn't turn the gas on. We had two broken-down vehicles that we thank God got us through, but when something happened, we didn't know what we were going to do. We had a mechanic at the time that would help us and fix things for almost next to nothing, and we thank God for him because if we didn't have him, we would have been walking. You know what I'm saying? But then somebody connected me. I got connected to the plan of God. When I say somebody connected me, I actually misspoke because I had to choose to connect to the plan of God. I came to my wife one day after having some intercession with God. Praise the Lord. I had some time with God. And my wife was, she wasn't my wife yet, but she was away at college. Glory to God. And I called her up, or I texted her a message. I said, hey, when you get back here, I had an interaction with God. Amen. And I said, when you get back here, I said, I got to talk to you about it. It's not nothing bad, but I got to talk to you about something important. My wife was an atheist at the time. And I love you. I love where this relationship is going. But one thing that I know is a relationship that's not built on God can't go anywhere. Praise the Lord. And I said, there's this old church that I found. I think that it's a pretty good church. I've been there once. I said, but I'd really like us to try going. Well, you tell an atheist that. Praise the Lord. But she loved me, so she went. Glory to God. And we've been going ever since. Amen. But see, we had to decide to go. Do you know that I had made up in my mind that if she wouldn't go, that that's where the relationship ended? See, because if somebody won't go with you, if they're not going with you in the plan, glory to God, then you got to leave them behind. And I know that sometimes that sounds harsh, but see, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is death. See, if you spend too much time, if you hang around people that are bringing death, that are living in death, then you will find yourself in death. Amen? If there's a plan, then there's also purpose. A lot of people spend their entire life trying to find their purpose, and this is why most never walk in God's plan. Amen? It's the truth. You know, if you're building a building, I like buildings. I like building buildings. I like all that, the aspects of building buildings. But you know, rarely anymore, people don't just go, hey, we're going to go buy some lumber and just start building a building. And if you do, it's not a very good building, generally. They're not ones that last. But you know, if they want to build a, I watched a show recently about a building. It's called a perfect wall construction. Amen. It was this new way of building. But they said that this building is designed, it's just a wood-constructed building, just a house like you and I have. But the way that it's designed is designed to last 500 years. 500 years, amen. And they go through and explain why. But basic building materials, all I say, nothing different, but just range differently. See, there's a plan. And see, you can build a shack, praise the Lord. You can go to Home Depot, you can buy a shed, and that shed, you're going to open that shed up, it's going to have plans in it, amen? And you're going to look at those plans, and you're going to construct that shed, but I guarantee you one thing, that in 500 years, that shed will not be there. What's the difference? It's what's in the plan, amen? We need what's in the plan, amen? And see, God's plan is like that. There's specifics in the plan to our life. There's specific in His plan. See, God knows what makes you tick. God knows what makes you work. God knows how you'll operate. He knows your personality better than you do. He knows how your thoughts, your desires, your hopes, your dreams. He knows all these things way better than you do. God knows this, Ed. And He's made a plan for you already. See, what a lot of people are doing is they're making a plan. They're saying, now God, you come here and please bless my plan. God can't bless that plan. He will as far as He can, but He can't fully bless that plan. This is why so many Christians walk without God, what God has for the fullness of what God has for them. Praise God. I will say this over and over and over again, but if you live as a Christian for X amount of time, I'm just saying for a couple years, and there's no change in your life, it looks the same as it did when you came in, something's wrong. Yeah. Why? Because God's plan always takes us higher. It's always taken us higher, praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, my wife and I don't live in a one-bedroom apartment anymore. We live in a house we never thought we would be able to afford, but we live there by the power and ability of the Lord. It isn't because the church pays us so greater. We said this, 100 times, that I make less than I did 10 years ago. And we have more than we did then. Why? Because the plan of God works. The plan of God always works. Praise the Lord. If it doesn't work, then it's not because it doesn't work. It's because you're not working it right. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can't tell me. I've seen it. I've seen it over and over and over again. When you get fully immersed in the plan of God, God will bless you. He will send people your way. He will make things work out for you. Every single thing that I did in my own life failed. Why? Because I did it according to my plan. There's a way that seems right unto man, but its end is death. See, there's a way that seems right unto man. There was a way that seemed right unto Jeff, but its end was death. But when Jeff got into God's plan, hallelujah, God started bringing life. God started bringing life and life more abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. My wife and I are more blessed today than we ever been. You know, some people dread getting older. I'm telling you what, I love getting older. My 20s, terrible. My 30s, a little bit better, but still pretty terrible. By the end of my 30s, I was starting to get something right. Praise the Lord. And when I started entering my 40s, I got excited. Hallelujah. Because my 40s so far have been blessed. Hallelujah. Now, I'm only 2 years into my 40s. I got a bunch of 40s left. But I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to 43, 44, 45, 46. Why? Because each year is going to be more blessed. Why? Because I'm in the plan of God. I'm going to stay in the plan of God. My wife's in the plan of God. She's going to stay in the plan of God. We're doing things according to the plan of God. And so my 50s, guess what? Oh, watch out. Praise the Lord. When I get to my 50s, I don't know if you're going to. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when I get to my 60s, oh, man, hallelujah. My 70s, I ain't afraid of my 70s. Glory to God. You talk about 80s? Oh, bring 80s on. Hallelujah. Why? Because when the 80s, I'll probably finally know something in my 80s. Hallelujah. I'll be somewhere in my 80s. Listen, God, the Bible says that we go from glory to glory, not glory to sorrow. Praise the Lord. It isn't a bad thing. And praise God. Hallelujah. If I check out in my 80s, 90s, or 100s, whatever it is, if I check out, I'm just going to someplace better anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Hallelujah. I ain't afraid of where I'm going. Hallelujah. I want to be here as long as I can because God's got a plan. And I want to fulfill that plan. And you know how I live there on that other side has a lot to do with how I live here. So many people live for the here and now, and they don't realize this is why Christians, praise the Lord, in today's church are just by and large stupid. Because they live for today. They live for now. And the idea that this is everything. Listen, we are here 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Even if you live 100, there's people who live 105 years. Do you know how long 105 years is compared to eternity? It's nothing. It's like a, the Bible says, what is your life but a vapor? We're here and gone. But how we live matters. I want to live blessed, amen? Praise the Lord. Will you not let me get very far? Praise God, hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11, we're going to still keep reading through verse 14. What's it say here then, verse 12? Then you will call upon me. When? When you realize that God's got plans for you. Why? Why will you call upon him? Because you understand that God's got plans for you. God's got a good plan for me? Wait a minute. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 says. He's got a good plan for me. God's thinking good thoughts. God's up there talking to the angels right now saying, how can I bless Jeff? Now he knows how. But you know what I mean? He's making plans to do it. In fact, he sent angels out right now. There's angels running around trying to get blessing to us. Do you know that? Praise the Lord. That's happening right now. See, you're sitting there all worried about stuff, all worried about the trial, all worried about the whatever's coming at you. And the whole time, God's got heavenly, he's got angels. You remember what an angel, you ever seen angels? Angels are not the pretty little blonde women in white robes. That's not what an angel is. Angels are warriors, praise the Lord. Angels are big. Angels are strong. Angels get it done, hallelujah. When God wants to send somebody, he sends angels. You know what I mean? Some people call on the mafia. Some people call on ninjas. Hallelujah. God's got angels. Listen, if ninjas were better than angels, he would have had ninjas, not angels. But he's got angels. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? And guess what angels do? Hebrews tells us the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who receive salvation. Well, is there anybody in here who's received salvation? Well, guess what then? You got a few angels. Praise the Lord. And probably access some more. But see, here's the thing. A lot of people just don't believe it. Yeah. But see, when you believe it, when you understand it, then when you know that God's got, go, wait a minute, God's got good thoughts. I remember the first time I heard this scripture, I was like, wait, what do you mean God's got good thoughts for me? God's thinking good thoughts for me? My life don't look like God's been thinking good about me. That's where I came in at. You understand? My life was falling apart. It was bad. I went from one trial to another. I didn't go from glory to glory. I went from trial to trial. And a lot of times worse. I went further and further in debt. Everything just fell apart. My life, everything was breaking apart. Relationships were terrible. One bad relationship to another bad relationship. That's how I came into the church. And then I heard the scripture. I was like, wait a minute, God's got a good plan for me. God's up there right now. He's thinking good thoughts towards you. He was thinking good thoughts towards me. You know, all that time I was living, all that snarf, all that trial, all that trouble, all that time God was thinking good thoughts about me. Do you understand that? So if God's up there thinking good thoughts about you, then why aren't you seeing it? Because you ain't connected to his plan. You want to connect to his plan. If you want the blessing of God, you have to connect to his plan because that's where it's at. Praise the Lord. What's the first step in connecting to his plan? The Son, Jesus Christ. God can't bless you. He does, though. But he can't. You can't walk in the blessing of God unless you've received his son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. A lot of people would love a voice. They'd love to get the ear of a president or of a movie star or of some great commander or something. They would love to get the ear of one of these. But the creator of everything said, I'll listen to you. The creator of everything said, I'm waiting for you because I want to hear what you got to say. The creator of everything wants to hear what you got to say. I will listen to you. And you will seek me. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody that sought God in their life? Oh, we seek God in all kinds of things. All kinds of people are running around seeking God. You know, you got people over on the other side of the world. They're seeking God through Buddha. They're seeking God, you know, the Muslims. They're seeking God through Allah. And they're not finding him. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Our God promised us something. He promised that if we sought him, we'd find him. Because he says, then you will seek me and find me. And find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what he promised. I will be found by you, he says. This is not a statement that you can take two ways. He said, I will be found by you when you seek for me. Seek me with your whole heart. You start seeking God out with your whole heart, guess what? He's going to be found by you. It's a promise. Amen. Praise the Lord. And don't we see it? Praise the Lord. See, people see change in life. There's got to be some reason for it. But they don't want to look at the real reason. And the reason is God. Amen. See, God is real. God ain't false. So many people think that we just go to church out of this ritualistic behavior. They have no idea. They've never had an encounter with my God. My God isn't ritualistic. My God is realistic. Amen. Hallelujah. My God is ever present. Hallelujah. Do you know my God talks to me every single day? You say, what do you mean? Yeah, he talks to me every single day. Do you know I can hear the voice of God? Do you know you can hear the voice of God? He talks to me every single day. I ask my kids all the time, I say, what's God telling you? A lot of times they don't know. Praise the Lord. But they need to know what God's telling. What's God telling you? Why? Because he's talking. Amen. Just some people haven't learned how to listen. I'm so thankful someone taught me how to listen. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to a place from which I have caused you to be carried away captive. See, a lot of people don't understand this, and really we understand that this scripture here is more about that he's allowed you to be carried away. But we have to think about this from a right perspective, amen? Imagine someone blessed by the power of God. They have have you ever seen that movie? What was that movie, Bruce Almighty? I don't know if it's bad, good. You might not want to watch it if you haven't, but I'm not telling you to watch it. But if you've seen it, basically the whole concept of Bruce Almighty is this guy gets God's powers for, like, I don't know, a certain period of time. You know, and one of the first things that this guy does, because there's a way that seems right unto man, there's things in it, right? There's a way that seems right unto man. One thing he wants to do is he wants to impress his girlfriend, his wife, or whatever she is. And at the time, and he does this. He goes out on the patio, right? And I think he goes like that, makes the moon bigger. Actually makes it bigger, right? Well, then the next day, and of course that sounds, oh, that's cool. Like if I was God, I'd do all these things, right? I could change this or I could change that, right? Because you think, you think with your natural mind. But see, the next day on the news, what do they see? That there was like these tsunamis because these terrible storms because the moon controls weather patterns and stuff like that and has effect on the tides. And so a larger moon just caused more problems. See, God made the moon exactly what it needed to be. You say, well, God, if that was me, God, I would make the moon different. But see, your world would fall apart too. And see, in this process, the whole process, there is a good thought process behind the movie in that, and I don't even know that they did it, praise the Lord, because they weren't godly people that made it. But the whole idea behind it is that this man thinks that he knows better than God and that he can make things happen. And so many times we do the same thing. Like, who are you? I mean, listen, I love you. You're important. God loves you. You're important. I'm just telling you, you're an important person. You know what I mean? You mean something to somebody. Glory to God. You know, somebody needs to pat you on the back. I understand. But I'm just going to tell you right now that compared to God, you're nothing. Yeah. I said, compared to God, you're nothing. God knows everything. He's been here forever. Yeah. And he'll be here forever. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He knows everything. Yeah. He created you. Yeah. You had no advice for him. He's got a plan for you. You have no say. Why do you want say in a plan that you're going to screw up anyways? Follow his plan, he won't screw it up. I mean, like, listen, like you ever know, like, if you've had kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, have you ever gone to your kids and go, why would you ever do that? Just about every kid I know at some point has thought it was a good idea. I got to be careful because there's little ears in here. I don't want to give any ideas. But to stick things in, like, you know, yeah. We'll just stop there. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? There's a, why would you do that? I've had ideas. I remember having ideas when I was a kid. Oh, this got to work. But it doesn't. It causes pain. It causes, you know what I mean? There's a hot stove. Guess what? It's hot. Kids don't always realize what hot means. They learn it quick, though, don't they? Amen? But see, we're the same thing with God. We're like, God, I want to do things my way. I want to do things the way I figured out. I want to do the things that the way I set them up. Praise the Lord. I want to do things how I want to do them, God. And I want you to bless it. But God can't bless it. He can't look at, like, it would be like a kid trying to touch a hot stove. And you'd be like, all right, I'm going to give you a treat if you do that. It's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. See, people are trying to get God to follow their plan, and their plan leads to death. And God wants to stop death. That's why Jesus came, that we would have life and have it more abundantly. You see, there's a theme that we're repeating things here. Amen? Praise. But we got to know these things. Hallelujah. So imagine somebody getting blessed with all the powers of God that doesn't know. Imagine that. You give some fool on the street, you give them all the powers of God. You can control anything you want. Guess what's going to happen? They're going to smite their neighbor. Hallelujah. They're going to cause undue pain and things. They're going to cause things that affect. See, God isn't just thinking about you, although he thinks about you. But he's thinking about his plan. You are connected to his plan, which is connected to other people, which is connected to a church, which is connected to a pastor, other believers. And that plan, there is blessing for this area. You understand, we have people from Mayville that come down and help with this work. They're connected to the plan, but not the same way that the people who are called to this church are connected to the plan. Eventually, some of those people probably won't be here anymore. As this church grows, some of those people will just continue to go back to Mayville or go help with other works or whatever. But there's a plan. God has a plan here. He didn't have a plan for Mayville people just to come down here and have church. Amen? He didn't need to do that. But see, this is the point that I'm trying to make, is God has got a plan. He's doing something, and we need to find out where that is. Amen? Praise the Lord. There are three places where the plan of God is realized. Three places where the plan of God is realized. And all three of these things, none of them work independently of the other. They all work simultaneously together. Amen? It's kind of like this. If if you're doing wiring in a house, and, you know, you take they call it 12, or like if you're going to wire an outlet, it's called like 12-3. It's the gauge of the wire, 12-2, and it's got three different wires in it. But if you don't connect all those wires, then there's an issue. And if you don't connect some of those wires, they won't operate correctly. Though whatever you wanted to do. I've had so many times where I've wired in a light or I've wired in an outlet or something and it didn't work. And then you go back and you check the connections, because the connections matter. And see, it's the same thing in the plan of God. There's a plan of God that has three main connections, and we have to stay connected to that. Praise the Lord. You can't just have a black wire connected. You have to have the black, white, and the red wire connected. If they're not all connected, then you're not going to get the outcome that you want. And see, this is where people fail, is because they don't realize how important all these are. Now, I'm going to touch on two of these points, just touch on two of the points. But the third point we're going to delve into a little bit further. Amen. And we may not get to it all today. Praise the Lord. If we don't, we'll probably pick it up next week. Praise the Lord. So there are three points of contact. We need to remember this. Three points of contact to God's plan, God's purpose, three points of contact. They are absolutely, absolutely necessary. Each one is necessary, and without one of them, you won't have the others. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the first point of contact, I just realized I have three points. Hallelujah. In my sermon, glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to write this down, send Pastor Tim a message. Praise the Lord. I got three points to this. Praise the Lord. Three points of contact. The first point of contact is the Word. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And just for time's sake, I'm just going to pull this up here. Isaiah 55:11. What does it say? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Look at this. God says that his word that goes forth from his mouth, praise God, in the very most basic way we can understand this, is right here. God's word is right here. This is the word of God, amen? It's gone forth from his mouth, and what does he say about it? It shall accomplish what he pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it. That means God's word always, always, always works. It always works. If God's word ain't working, it's you ain't working it right. It has nothing to do with God. God's word always works. How do we know? Because the creator of heaven and earth and everything that's in them, he told us that his way will always accomplish. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see that, the word, amen? Praise God, hallelujah. The second thing, the second point of contact that we have is the local church. Praise the Lord, or you could say church. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:18. Why don't we just go over there, because we're going to head that way anyways. So it won't be hard. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Praise God, hallelujah. Getting some help tonight, getting some direction tonight, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:18, second point of contact, the church, says here, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see anything about church in there. Well, if you do a little bit of study here, you understand something, that the body coming together, the church is the body of Christ. Amen. The body of Christ are the believers. Praise the Lord. And he says, tells us here that each one of us are a member individually. But he has set the member where he is pleased. This is why you don't get to be choose to be a prophet. You don't get to choose to be a pastor. You don't get to choose to be whatever you want to be. Praise the Lord. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end leads to death. God places a member as members in the body as it pleases him. When we try to operate opposite of this, we are breaking one of those points of contact. If we don't come to church, if we skip church all the time, we are missing a point of contact. Praise the Lord. But also knowing where you're to be planted, who you're to be connected with. All these things matter. Because here's the thing. We are Family Church Corey. Not everybody in Corey is called to this church. But there are some people who are. Praise the Lord. If people are not called to this church and they come to this church, they won't flourish the way God intended them to. Amen? The same thing with Family Church Mayville. Listen, we have 11 family churches now. 11 family churches, and in all these family churches, we have differing pastors with differing gifts. If you go, my pastor is he's very different minister than I am. Last week, if you were here, you got to see Pastor Michael, very different minister than I am. Amen? Well, what is all that? It's different parts of the body. And the people that are connected to Pastor Michael need what Pastor Michael has. Now, we are all connected to him because we are in the family churches, but not as he is a pastor, amen? But the people that are called to me, they are called to be connected to this local body. And the things that God has for me to do, has for the church to do, are the same things that he has for you to do if you're connected. God has a plan. If we try to alter that plan, we break connections. We break connections because we lose what God's plan is. We don't want what we want. We want what God wants. Amen. We have to remember that. Whenever people try, you know, people get burnout. People get discouraged over time, and they say, "Well, maybe I'm not supposed to be here anymore." Listen, God isn't breaking points of contact. If it's working, praise the Lord, like it should, then God isn't trying to remove you out of it. Amen. Now, there are times when God moves people on, and there will be a consensus, we'll say. It will be well known. Like, for example, when my wife and I got sent out to pastor, we didn't want to leave our pastor, but we also didn't break that connection. But we weren't going to be in his sheepfold every single week anymore. Now our lives were going to look different. Praise God. I said I was just going to touch on these points. I guess I went a little bit further. But you understand that God has he has us all connected for a reason. He places us in the body as he please. As he please. What pleases him? His plan. Why? Because he knows his plan works. You don't look for a lesser plan when you know your plan is good. Amen. If you got a plan that works, you don't go asking somebody else, praise the Lord, what to do. You know, you take like a surgeon or something like that who's been, you know, you take like Dr. Ben Carson. We all know him, right? This man is sought after. He's separated conjoined twins, was like the first person to do that. You know what I mean? If you need to separate conjoined twins, you're not going to call up somebody who's at the first year of medical school and say, hey, you know what I mean? What's your ideas in this? No, you're going to call up the one who knows, the one who's done it. Amen. God is not asking us our advice on his plan. He isn't asking you. He doesn't care what your thoughts are and how you think he ought to do things. We have to get used to see, but people in this society, oh man, and especially in America, we don't like being told what to do. We especially don't like to be told that we're wrong. Oh, come on now. But sometimes you're wrong. And I've just decided, I don't want to be a person, I tell the Lord all the time, I do not want to be deceived. Out of all things, I do not want to be deceived. If we allow ourselves, and deception only comes by you allowing it, but if we allow ourselves to be deceived, then we will miss the plan of God. Amen? You might still go to heaven, but you miss what God has for you. Well, praise the Lord. I know, oh, glory, hallelujah. I know of people that could not fulfill the plan of God for their lives because they were connected wrong. God had this grand plan, has this, and as long as they're connected wrong, they couldn't fulfill that plan of God. It's terrible. And it's painful to watch, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Okay, so the third point of contact is our spirit. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to get into something here. Romans 8:13. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. So it's a third point of contact. It is imperative, folks, that you remember that all points of contact are necessary to be in the full plan of God. You can disconnect one, you get out of the plan of God. It doesn't mean God won't ever bless you, but it means you won't ever fulfill the full blessing of God, and you will go through things that you didn't have to go through. Because you know what Jesus promises? I love it. I can't remember the exact scripture, but he says, take upon you my yoke, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Praise the Lord. God's way is light and easy. Praise the Lord. If you find yourself banging your head against a wall, if you're struggling, if you're just trying to make it work, you have to start seeking God because you're not in the plan of God. The plan of God is not difficult. The plan. And I'm not saying there won't be opposition. Of course, there'll be opposition to God's plan, but God said it, he said my yoke will be light and easy. You know, as I was coming down here tonight, you know, the devil tried to put a lot of thoughts in my head about a lot of things. Well, don't you know this and don't you know that and this and that and this and that. I did what Pastor Michael taught us last week, and I laughed. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to laugh at it. Why? Because the devil can't, if I don't give him that place, then he can't have it. The devil only gets what we give him. You don't understand that, right? Some people are like, the devil's after. Who cares? He's after everybody. Yeah, I don't care that the devil's after me. Why? Because I got to give him the place to sit. You know what I mean? It's like the devil comes knocking on people's doors and says, oh, come on in. Want me to fix you something? You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to do that. I mean, no, I don't want anything, devil. I want your garbage. I want what you got. What? I want your snarf. She don't want a snarf either. Hallelujah. 8:13. Praise the Lord. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, the body, you will live. Glory to God. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Well, you know, earlier today I was hungry and I got something to eat, and that was living according to the flesh, so I guess I'm going to die then. That's not what it's talking about, amen? I got into this a little bit because we know eventually everybody's going to die here. And again, we can't get into all the reasons why, but there's good reasons that our bodies die. I'm just going to tell you right now. If we lived in perfection, then we would have lived forever. Adam and Eve were meant to live forever. They weren't meant to die. God did not cause death, but he allowed death because man entered into sin. And by entering into sin, the body got corrupted, the mind got corrupted, and they could never live in the complete fullness of God because of that corruption. Amen? And so God did us a favor by allowing our bodies to die. Praise the Lord. But that's not what it's talking about here. I love, when I got into the Word, I was breaking this apart. I had it in my spirit to look up the Greek. Praise the Lord. The word die, part of what it means is to perish by means of something. To perish by means of something. You can apply that to anything. This relationship perish because of dot, dot, dot. This friendship perish because of dot, dot, dot. Praise the Lord. So-and-so, my job perished because of dot, dot, dot. Yeah. Amen. My car perished because, you see, to perish means it means to perish by means of something. Something is causing the death, amen? So what does he say? When we live according to the flesh, there is a way that seems right unto man, but its end leads to death. When we are dictated, when our lives are dictated by what we see, by what we feel, where's the flesh? It's this. By what we see, by what we feel, by what we hear, by what we desire. When we just, God's given us the flesh as a blessing, but not to live by it. It's to enjoy life. Do you understand? This is what emotion is for. It's to enjoy life. The flesh is meant to, God's given us these feelings and the ability to taste because he wants us to enjoy all the beautiful fruit. But he's given us eyes to visualize the fruit so we can look at it and say, hey, wait a minute, those flowers are gorgeous. And have you ever seen something? It's just like, wow, it's just beautiful. You know what I mean? He's given us the flesh. But if we live by those things, which are not meant to live by, then it causes death. Why? Because we get consumed with things that perish. We get consumed with things that aren't godly things. We're consumed with earthly things. Amen? Praise the Lord. On the opposite side of things, he said that if we live according to the Spirit, we'll live, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. It means to enjoy real life as God intended. God intended us to enjoy life. And if you live according to the Spirit, he will let you live life in a way that you've never even imagined, that you will enjoy things in ways that you never could understand. You will have new desires. Praise the Lord. One of the things that the Lord has worked into me is to squash that poverty mentality that I always had my entire life. Man, I would always say, I love using this example, I would save chunks of 2x4 that were that long. Yeah. Now I burn them out, and if I need to burn them up, and if I need a piece of 2x4 that long, I'll go buy a full 2x4 and cut that much off and then burn the rest of it. You understand what I'm saying? Like God does not, and I understand about being good stewards, but it's to give you an idea. You know, some people are so consumed with it, they'll hoard junk, and literally just junk, because they might use it someday. Yeah. And it meant nothing. You know what I mean? See, that isn't living. What's living is, I love Pastor Webb. You might not know Pastor Webb, but he's a dear minister friend of ours. But I love Pastor Webb. He will not take doggy bags home from the restaurant. He won't do it. Because it's poverty mentality. He won't do it. Well, why? If he wants it again, he'll go out and eat it again. Yeah, that's how he lives. Amen. One time he bought me a hat. We were up in Canada on a bear hunt. And we were in the store. And it was like this goofy Canadian hat that I found. And I put it on. And he said, I'm going to buy you that hat just to see you in it. It changed my life, though. It was $20. Because at the time, I was like, I wouldn't spend $20 on that hat. He said, I'll buy it just to see it on you because it makes me laugh. You know, sometimes it's worth to invest in something just to make you laugh. Yeah. Just because you need it. And I'm not talking about living, you know, there's balance to this message, of course. I'm not talking about just living, you know, throwing caution to the wind and spending money. But sometimes we just got, you know what? I'll spend an extra $30 on an airplane flight to get a better seat. Yeah. Why? Because it makes me more comfortable, and $30 ain't worth me not having it. Right. I'm just saying. Do you know, I spend a couple $100 just to get on and off the plane first. Yeah. Why? Because I don't want to sit there waiting for everybody else. I've already spent several hours with all those people in the cramped space. I don't want to spend any more time with them. I want off first. I'll spend the extra money to do that. You see, that's the way God wants us to live. Praise the Lord. You know, if everybody lived right, we'd have problems with flight. We'd have much smaller planes because everybody would be flying first class. Yeah. I'm just telling you the truth, amen? Praise the Lord. God doesn't want us poverty-minded. He doesn't want us thinking like, listen, he wants you to have a nice vehicle. He wants you to have a nice house. But see, if you live according to the flesh, then that's all you're going to be after. See, we can get these things just following the plan of God because he just wants you blessed. Yeah. You see the balance of what I'm talking about? I hope so. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. As many as are the sons of God, what does it say here? As many as are, I better get there because we didn't read to that next verse. Yep. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if you can say as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, you can also say as many as are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. What I'm saying is that if you're a child of God, you should be led by God. And if you're not being led by God, Houston, we got a problem. Something, there's an issue, there's a misconnection somewhere. Because the Spirit of God desires to lead us. How do we know? Because he told us that if you want to be a son of God, you're going to be led by God. If you're going to be a son of God, and he wants you to be sons, because he's not willing that anyone should perish. You know, the sons, you know, that's a, it's a masculine form, but it means kinship, literally children, praise the Lord, if we look at it that way. So it applies to you ladies too, amen. He wants you to be in his sheepfold. He wants you to be his child, hallelujah. And he wants to lead you. I said he wants to lead you. Praise God. So many people, they don't understand this. They seek God for answers that they never really think that they're going to give. And God is the God of answers. He's written this book so we have answers. He's given us his Holy Spirit so we have answers. We're going to see this here in a minute. But he's given us his, oh, praise the Lord. Is that the time? Am I over that much? Praise, it's time to close up, isn't it? Pretty much. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you got me talking so much. I don't know if I can go on very much further. And finish. I definitely ain't going to finish it. Hallelujah. I'm only about halfway through. Praise the Lord. This is where the cutting off point will be. That would be good. Praise the Lord. It's gonna keep you enticed. You got to come back next week if you want to finish. Amen. But God wants us to be led. He's promised us. He's made certain promises to us that we could be led, that we should be led, that we would be led. But see, listen. As any leading, and you have to understand this, and I'm just going to take it further. With any leading, you can't be forced. Because that's called captivity. Yeah. That's called bondage. Yeah. God leads. He doesn't force. Yeah. This is why people die and go to hell every single day, because they wouldn't be led. Yeah. No, I want my own thing. There's a way that seems right unto man, but its end is death. God doesn't want death. He wants life. And he has promised us life. And if we follow him, life is what we find. Amen? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the truth in your word. We thank you for all the things that you have for us. We thank you, God, that you just loved us so greatly, that you gave us your word, you gave us your son, you gave us your Holy Spirit. You made the connection. You gave us the church. You gave us pastors. You gave us prophets. You gave us evangelists. You gave us apostles. You gave us teachers. Just because you love us. You gave us a variety, Lord. Even in your ministry offices, God, you didn't give us one gift, but you gave us many. That we would be fulfilled. That we'd be a part. And you set us in the body as you pleased. And we thank you, Lord. Because even tonight, Lord, I suspect that there's people that want to connect even more to you, just as I do. Praise the Lord. I'll share this with the congregation real quick. This is a continual desire of mine to connect more, to connect more to God. So don't sit there and think that I'm just picking on you. My desire is that I would know you, Lord, more, that I would hear your spirit more clearly, that I would follow your plan more perfectly. And Lord, that I would help facilitate in those people, all those people that you call yours, I would be able to help facilitate, Lord, that plan. Help them to find that plan. Their purpose is for you. But the plan, God, is so good. And it blesses us, and we thank you for it. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. We give this opportunity every week, and we do it because we love people. The first and most important thing you can do to get into the plan of God is to receive Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. There's one way to the Heavenly Father, and that is through His Son. The blood of His precious Son that was paid for us on that cross, and He presented it to God. He died for us, paying a debt that we couldn't pay. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you shall be saved. That is entrance into the plan, the very plan of God. And so I ask you this. Do you know, if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? Do you know that you would, that you're part of His plan? And if the answer is no, is you need to know. You need to get part of that plan. You need to become sure. And it's nothing difficult. His plan is the easiest. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. God isn't calling us to something hard. It's not joining this church. It's not saying, hey, Pastor Jeff is my pastor. It's not saying I'm going to come here ever again. All it's saying is I want the plan of God. And so if that's you, if you've never received Jesus and you'd like to today, all heads are bowed, all eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. We're not going to call you up front. We're going to just have you raise your hand. And we'll, if you raise your hand, well, I'll have you put it right back down. And we'll all pray a prayer together. So if that's you and you never received Jesus and you'd like to today, go ahead and slip your hand up real quick. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't see any hands. I want to give one more opportunity. Maybe you have received Jesus and you walked away. And I don't mean you made a few mistakes, because we'll all make mistakes. I don't even necessarily mean you made a lot of mistakes. But I mean you walked away from God. You started living different. And you want to come back to God today. And you say, you know what? I don't know if He'll take me. I'm just going to tell you, God will take you back. Because just like any good father, He just wants His kids. Amen? And so if that's you, if you walked away and you want to come back today, same thing to you. We'll pray a prayer with you. We'll all pray it together. Nobody's looking around. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand. Put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Hallelujah. I see that hand. You can put it down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, how you come back to God is the same way that you got to God. It's real simple. We pray this prayer. You just mean it from your heart. So even if you didn't raise your hand, you say, well, I was just afraid to raise my hand, but I want that. I want to be saved. I want to follow the plan of God, or I want to get back on. Either way, we're just going to pray this prayer together. You just pray it with us. It's not the raising your hand does it, but to the belief in what you say. Amen? So if you raise your hand, just pray this. Everybody pray this with us. Father, we thank you for Jesus, that He died for me so I could live for you. Well, thank you, Lord, for your plan, and that I'm part of it. Wash me. Cleanse me. Keep me on that plan. Keep me in that path all the days of your life, my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good that we're here. Praise God. God's got good things for us. Let's keep walking that plan. And next week, God willing, unless He changes it, but I believe that we'll continue in this right now. But we're going to finish this series, I guess it is now. Praise the Lord. But God's got good things for us. He's got good things for you. Go out and live this week. Bless. Don't let the devil have it. You know, I heard something this week. I just want to share it with you real quick. That they suggest if you have a hard time getting up in the morning, that when you get up in the morning, as soon as your alarm goes off, the thing you got to do if you want to start your day right is to instantly jump out of bed and yell, "Woo!" Hallelujah. And if you do that, it says that, I don't know if it does or not. I haven't tried it yet. Praise the Lord. Mostly because I forgot about it. But, let's wake up in the morning and just say, you know what? I'm going to have all God has for me. Get excited about it. You can say like, oh yeah, or something like that. It doesn't matter. Just hooty hoo for Jesus. Hallelujah. Just get excited about it. Get excited about what God's doing, because He's doing good things in your life. Amen.